By the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
In the 64th chapter of Isaiah, we read, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand." Merciful God, we know it takes courage to put ourselves on the line and provide opportunities for healing to take place. Give us all the energy needed to reach out in this darkness of COVID-19 and do what each of us must do to provide that healing. May each of us be a voice calling out for a common sense as stricken communities join together, asking for your healing by those who have been given the gift of being healers in this wounded world. Bless all you have called forth to do the essential work that is truly needed as we approach a time to move positively forward in this world, aware of the opportunity to improve what is made new before us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you, buddy. You coming tomorrow?
Yep, I'll be here.
All right, I will too. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Quorum has been established. The Senate is in session. Senator Butler, you are here. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 45th day, Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from Boone.
Further reading of the journal be dispensed with and same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The Senator from Boone County renews his motion that the reading of the journal be dispensed with and it be approved as though having been fully read. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the journal. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar, and I'd ask that you recognize the Senator from Johnson for a motion on Senate Bill 704.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar. Senator from Johnson County is recognized for Senate Bill 704.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to take Senate substitute for Senate Bill 704 off the informal calendar for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Johnson County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd had the floor when the bill was laid over. We would need him to hold the floor or give up the floor.
I give up the floor.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Johnson, I'm sorry. Please proceed.
That's all right. Thank you, Mr. President. I withdraw Senate Substitute Number 1, and I have a new Senate Substitute.
Madam Secretary, please send back the Senate Substitute. Senator from Johnson, please send forward your new Substitute. Senator from Johnson, would you happen to be seeking a waiver of the reading on that substitute?
Yes, I do move for a waiver of the reading as it has been distributed.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, please move for the adoption of your new substitute and then feel free to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do move for the adoption of the new substitute. I want to go through the new substitute, and as everyone can see, it does have a summary. So, the first 1 through 5 provisions are from the Senator from Green. That's where we left off of. He had, Senator from Green had an amendment to allow voters in those certain districts and precincts to vote on different types of taxes, whether it was transient tax and others. The Senator from the 23rd had some concerns on those. They were able to come to a compromise. So that amendment is included in there with the compromise. The compromise basically has language that says that those elections have to occur on a general election date, so a November election date, as well as which would be the next general election date, obviously, is this year, but it could not be this year. The next general election date would be in 2022. And then also the provisions, if any of those entities are trying to pass a tax increase, it has to be explained on the website exactly what that tax is used for and the amount of that tax. Number 6, this is from the Senator from the 5th. She had put this on there as an amendment, and we just went ahead and included it in the sub. The Senator from Platt had number 7, provisions added relating to property tax assessments. This is an amendment that had been passed, and we had already put that on the first Senate sub. The Senator from the 1st, number 8, we discussed about the Homestead Preservation Act. That section was removed from that provision, but his other provisions in his Senate bill remained in the Senate sub. Senator from the 15th had put amendment on there that dealt with some assessments of certain properties. The Senator from the 25th had some concerns about that, and so we removed that from the Senate sub. The Senator from Platt had also offered an amendment relating to the taxation of federal tax credits authorized by the CARES Act. So we included, that was an amendment that had been passed and that we included in the Senate sub. And then the last, there were some technical corrections that Department of Revenue had recommended relating to the taxation of partnerships, and those were included. So basically what we did is we took everything that, all the amendments that had passed on the first Senate sub, created a new Senate sub that also included the Senator from Green, his amendment on sales tax and transient guest taxes and things like that. And then we did remove a couple provisions that some senators had come to me with some concerns. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The Senator from Johnson County has moved for the adoption of Senate Substitute Number 2, the Senate Bill Number 704. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the amendment, a waiver of the reading, and I will not close until it's distributed. I don't think it's been distributed yet.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. You've moved for the adoption. Senator, would you care to go ahead and explain your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. What this is it renews a sunset on a wood energy tax credit. It just extends a sunset on it. It's very important to my district. It deals with sawmills and
and it basically is just a tax credit for these sawmills to be able to clean up these big mountains of sawdust piles that you see when you go past a mill. And I would entertain any questions if anybody has.
Senator from Phelps County has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 704. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 23rd District. It's getting a little loud in the chambers. The secretaries and other senators cannot hear the conversation of the senators. I'd ask you to keep your conversations to a minimum or take them to the side gallery. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire from the senator from Phelps?
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
Absolutely.
He does. Proceed.
So, Senator, thank you for the inquiry. I just heard the tail end of your description. Are you saying your amendment? I have not seen your amendment. Have you distributed the amendment?
It's being distributed now.
Okay.
It's just an extension on the sunset for the wood.
Oh, okay. So this is for an existing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
so
no,
we're not creating a new, extending something.
Got not going to be any new money or anything like that.
All right. All right. I thought we were creating a new one for, and what was it? It was for sawdust? What was that?
Yeah. It's like, what it is, these sawmills, you know, you go past them, that's a big industry in my district. There'll be literally mountains of sawdust, you know, of piles, which is pretty, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different chemicals, reactions that go on that, and it is harmful to the environment. And what this tax credit does, it allows these sawmill owners to be able to get rid of this sawdust, whether it's going to, like, a charcoal plant, whatever, which in the past would cost them money to get rid of it instead of, you know, just piling it up. And so now they're actually getting a credit for cleaning up the environment, basically.
And it was going to expire this year? And where are you extending the sunset to?
Twenty twenty-six.
Okay,
yes.
So we're extending it for 5 years, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, what? And I had never heard of this before. What? What's the fiscal note on it? How much does this cost the state each year? I just don't know. I haven't heard of it.
$250,000.
Okay, so it's pretty small.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's all I needed to know. Thanks,
okay.
Senator.
Yep, thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption motion offered by the senator from Phelps County. Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from Phelps?
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
He has to bail you out here, Senator. So what you? So apparently you missed the train on the substitute, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're picking this up. How many sawmills do you have?
You know, don't quote me on the number, but I at least a dozen in my district.
Have to say it again. I was getting a little noisy in here. I couldn't hear you, Senator.
And actually,
really, really getting hard for senators to hear each other in the chamber right now. If we could take our conversations to the side galleries, I'm sure the members trying to listen to debate would appreciate it. Senators, please proceed.
One of the sawmills that I have in my district in Crawford County pretty much provides most of the wine and whiskey barrels that you'll see in the country. They actually make the barrels. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I have some sawmills in my area as well, but I haven't been by them recently to see how much sawdust they built up. And
oh yeah,
none of them have come to me for this, so I appreciate you doing it.
You know, and the tannous acid that are in those mills runs off into rivers and streams, and it is an environmental problem that this tax credit, when it was introduced, does incentivize these mills to clean it up. So it's a good thing.
Well, I appreciate you taking my inquiry. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion, the senator from Barry County.
And to inquire, Senator Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
Do. Hi. I've seen this tax credit many times before, and it's a very worthwhile one. Little side note, you mentioned about the barrels that they use the white oak for.
Right.
Right. I happen to be in overseas, and I was visiting a wine-producing company, and they were, you know, they aged the wine in these barrels. And I said, I bet you I know where those barrels came from. They come from Missouri.
Right.
And they said, yes.
They come from the, not only Missouri, but the 16th District, Guinness Wood Products.
Yes. So that's just a little side note. Right. Our oak products are shipped all over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Further discussion, Senator from the First.
Inquire the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I won't belabor it at this point, but I'll just say that the story of the last day of session in this chamber in 2013 pertaining to this precise tax credit is one that everybody in the chamber should hear at some time. It resulted in the strangest of bedfellows on, among other things, the Missouri Non-Discrimination Act. Would encourage folks that were not in the chamber then to talk to the ones that were. It was quite a story. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator from Cole.
I inquire of the Senator from Barry.
Senator from Barry, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
So I heard you mention that you were visiting a wine-producing factory.
Yes, actually, it was in Portugal.
Is that a nice way of saying you were drinking?
I don't remember.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment offered by the Senator from Phelps. Hearing none. Senator from Andrew.
Yep. Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew.
Inquire to the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps County.
I do. Good morning, Senator. Person. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Well, just fine. You know, this has been a long-established tax credit out there.
It has.
It's very beneficial to your area.
Right.
You know, we deal with it in the budget process because it is one of those rare tax credits that actually stands, you know, that requires an appropriation as well.
Right.
And so so there's a safeguard out there, so ever it go astray, we could always look at it from that standpoint and address it from that. So these are kind of safeguards that I'd like to have in there. This is one of those. We probably should do that on more tax credits out there, but this is one of them. And it does do a good job. I mean, like you said, you know, when we are in a dairy industry, we would take that waste product from sawmills, sawdust, and we would bet our cows with it, you know, and it made pretty good bedding. Many dairy herds would use that. Now we don't have as many dairy herds anymore, and so we need to look for other products to be able to utilize that. And that's what largely some of this tax credit goes to do, is to help stimulate the development of other products, the use of these sawdust and in other capacities. You know, briquettes, you know, are a good product that came out of that through the years. And so it does deal with a waste product. And takes it into a usable product.
Right.
Do you have some briquette?
Yes.
Factories down your way or
yep.
development?
I do.
Do they typically produce the sawdust themselves and make the briquettes there, or do they bring sawdust from other sawmills in and turn it into a product? I don't know. Is there cooperatives, or do you know how maybe those are set up?
The majority of it comes from other sawmills, and I will say this, just right outside of my district, in Marys County, Kingsford has a charcoal plant.
That's one I think of.
Everybody knows who Kingsford is.
Yeah.
That's in the Senator from the 6th District. It's a huge economic driver of a lot of areas in rural Missouri.
You bet. Well, so I just, we've been able to continue to put some dollars into this.
Right.
I think we've enhanced it some through the years. And it is being utilized. It's not just vacant authority that we've done in the past. It's actually money that we put in there that's being utilized, close to being tapped out most every year. Uh-huh. Now, I'm not advocating that we go into the budget and put more money in, mind you, but certainly it's one of those that we do have some controls on. We have ways of, should it ever get out of hand,
right,
which I don't perceive that it is now, We do have some safeguards to be able to protect the state from it getting out of hand. But I think it's a good amendment. I think it's a worthy product to be extended on. It takes a waste product, turns it into a marketable product. I think it's great for the state of Missouri. It's a value-added industry. So if we could support it and continue to do this, certainly I'm very favorable. So supportive of your amendment, and thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
And I want to say thank you, just from an appropriation standpoint for supporting that amendment, because it is very important to my district, and I appreciate it.
And I've been happy to support the senators from Phelps in that effort through the years. So, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Senator from Butler County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't know if you could recognize me with my mask on or not.
It was barely, but I did recognize you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from Phelps?
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Just to make sure everybody knows, there's hundreds of sawmills all over the state of Missouri.
That's
this
right.
is not just your district.
That's right. So, just in the 16th district, they're all over the state of Missouri.
And it don't even really pay the freight to haul it somewhere.
Right.
So it just kind of helps out a little bit
right.
to get rid of that sawdust. So I just wanted to verify that. It's not just something for your district. My district, I could go on and on and on. There's sawmills all over. Timber industry is a big economic driver here in the state of Missouri.
That's right.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption. Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
Senator from Phelps renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Substitute Number 2 to Senate Bill Number 704 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Further discussion on the adoption motion for Senate Substitute Number 2 offered by the Senator from Johnson County. Senator from Andrew.
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It is in the process of being distributed, and I will not close until it has been distributed.
Please send your amendment forward.
And I would ask, therefore, I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you care to move for your adoption of your amendment, and then please feel free to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly would like to do that. I do move for the adoption of this amendment to Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 704. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it's an amendment, it's a provision that we've included on a few other bills. It deals with the 139th National Guard unit and their ability to participate in the Missouri Works program. Right now, the regular guard, the regular Army and the full-time folks are able to participate in that program, and this one allows the part-time folks, in particular with the Missouri National Guard, to be able to participate in that program as well. In particular, we're looking at some a medical facility training in St. Joseph, which has been a great expansion of that. The senator from the 34th is certainly very supportive of this as well. Resides in this district and is certainly something that we'd like to see move forward. My district surrounds that part of the district, and certainly many of my constituents live in that district, and we both are very supportive of trying to get this provision in there, and would like to see this opportunity. And as I've said, it's passed the body a couple of times. So we will continue to talk, and as we look to get this distributed in a timely fashion. But thank you.
Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Platt, were you seeking recognition?
Yes, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I figured since we need to buy some time anyway, and I am very supportive of your amendment since it impacts the National Guard, which resides in my district, although I know is a big economic impact on your region.
Huge
as well.
Impact for the whole region. So we all work together on that.
Yeah. So just so for the benefit of the body, so in St. Joseph, Missouri, the 139th Airlift Wing of the Missouri Air National Guard, that's where it's headquartered, at Rosecrans.
Correct.
And, if you talk to the commanding officers at that base, they will tell you, not in jest, but in all seriousness, that they are the largest technical educator in Northwest Missouri. And they would not be wrong about that statement.
That's correct.
That's where the C-130 Hercules flies out of, is based out of for the Missouri Air National Guard. They have a lot of engine mechanics, other folks who they train on welding and other technical fields. And so, you know, I really do think, you know, having the Missouri Works program available to the Missouri Air National Guard, to me, makes a lot of sense.
No, I certainly think that the Missouri Works program was intended to allow,
yep,
you know, our armed forces to be able to participate in it. Like I say, for some reason, the part-time, you know, armed services, you know, National Guard, which we, quite honestly, when we say part-time, many of the guardsmen at the 139th are full-time. You know, they say they're part-time, but they're really full-time. Sometimes they're civil employees. I don't quite understand all that, but they continue to be employed full-time. But it really is a tremendous asset to the state of Missouri to have these 139th, the C-130s, what do you call it, freight...
Hercules
planes of the nation,
yeah,
that move a lot of product through.
Planes.
Yeah, yeah, they really move a lot of product and able to land on sand, you know, on desert.
I see our colleague, the senator from the 23rd, is deep in thought right now. I'm wondering if we're reminding him of his Air Force days right now, if he's thinking about the C-130s right now, or maybe our he's thinking that our technical knowledge is not quite up to par as we're discussing these
that
planes right
be.
Now. That is also the other possibility of what's going on right now.
So, yes, Senator, I mean, so it really is a necessary entity, a great economic driver in our region, provides a lot of good jobs. A lot of my, well, even high school friends have had a whole career with the Army National or Air National Guard there in St. Joseph at the Rosecrans Memorial Airport with the C-130 and the 139th in that whole wing. They've been deployed all over the world. We're very active in Desert Storm and many of the other efforts out there. Senator, I think that this amendment has been distributed now.
Hot pieces of paper that are being set on the desk. I don't know that they're quite on every desk
and
right now,
so,
but I think we're getting pretty close.
I think maybe we are at the place where we could close.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to terminate the inquiry then.
Well, thank you, Senator. It's been a joy to visit with you.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the Senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator.
An expert inquiring of me of my limited knowledge of the Air Guard.
You know, we were talking about...
It intimidates me a little bit.
No. My father used to fly as a pilot for C-130s.
Oh, did he?
Long time ago. KC-135s? Yeah. Long time ago. In fact...
Now, that's the bigger plane, isn't it? The 135?
The 135s are...
Is that the jet?
Those are the refuelers.
Okay.
And yeah, those are jets. In fact, he was in charge of the... re-engineering program on the KC-135s back in the early 1980s. Long time ago. Just out of curiosity, a couple questions.
Yeah.
The Missouri Works program, as I understand it, is a program that's designed to incentivize private businesses to expand or maintain their workforces. So I'm curious, are you saying that the National Guard, which is a government agency, can now qualify for Missouri Works benefits?
If you look at page 20, and so
okay.
Really we're looking at, so it's, that provision's already in there in section 9 on page 20, the back page of it.
Okay, yeah.
Basically says qualified military projects in the amount of equal to the estimated withholdings associated with those civilian and military jobs. All we're adding is the part-time and full-time civilian military job. Basically adding the part-time in there so that the Guard could qualify for this as well. So that provision's already in statute that would allow military projects. And I think it was aimed at certainly the institutions that we have in the state of Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood, Whiteman Air Force Base, which are huge economic...
Dear to my heart.
Yeah.
I was stationed at Whiteman.
Yeah, a long time ago. Huge, as you know, huge economic drivers in those regions, and very valuable assets to the state of Missouri that we need to continue to protect and make sure that we retain those facilities.
Agreed.
In the state of Missouri. Goes along to allow us to expand our mission up in the St. Joseph area. By allowing this, allows us to grow and basically look to the future to be able to continue to secure that facility in place.
So the National Guard is the one that keeps the retained earnings. Is that right? I'm just trying to get it.
Yeah, qualified mineral project estimated withholdings associated with the
so
earnings.
If the National Guard creates some military and civilian jobs, then the National Guard retains the
it allows them to participate in the project for their employees to be able to get this additional earning. And in particular, we're aiming at this. We've had an expansion of our medical unit up there that actually has been put to great use during the crisis we've had right now in providing some services in the state of Missouri and associated with the coronavirus. Some have been in our region, and they've been a great asset in that regards too. So it's a timely addition to our community in Northwest Missouri in that regards. This would allow them to participate fully in the program.
Great. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Senator, thank you, and thank you for your knowledge of that industry.
Anytime. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the 23rd.
May I inquire of the Senator from Barton?
Senator from Barton, you yield to inquiry.
I yield.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I just thought, I don't want to take up a lot of time, I just thought it was interesting that a government agency can take advantage of the Missouri Works Program under current law. Were you aware of that?
I don't think I was, Senator. I was listening.
Three senators standing. Senator from Johnson, what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Please lay that bill on the informal calendar.
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar along with the illegal coffee cup on the senator from Andrew's desk. Good thing he is the appropriations chairman. Senator from Boone.
And without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business. Reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be reports of standing committees. Senator from Webster County.
Your Committee on Physical Oversight has a report.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 578, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 2046 with Senate Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1854 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1655 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 1640 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 1383 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Barry.
Chairman, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children has one final report.
Let me remind you, Senator, you are longstanding in this chamber. There are no chairmen in this chamber.
That's correct. And I apologize for that last final error.
Last error. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children, to which was referred House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1414, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1682, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1683, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Sater, Chairman.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Government Reform has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 2049, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Emery, Chairman.
Senator Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most likely this will be the last report I send in this chamber, and it's been a pleasure serving our committee, and it's all rolled up in a big pile here, but I have it. Oh, yes, I understand. Anyway, I do have a report.
Please send that report forward.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred House Bill 1963, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Libela, Chairman.
Senator from the Second.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Health and Pensions has a report.
Please send that report forward. And Madam Secretary, please read that report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Health and Pensions, to which was referred House Committee Substitute Number 2, House Bill 1896, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Onder, Chairman.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Small Business and Industry has a report.
Please send that report forward, and Madam Secretary, please read that report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business and Industry, to which was referred House Bill 1559, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Hoskins, Chairman.
Senator from Dallas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Local Government and Elections has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Local Government and Elections, to which was referred House Bill 1700, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Local Government and Elections, to which was referred House Bill 1330, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Crawford, Chairman.
Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar, and I'd once again ask you to recognize the Senator from Johnson on a motion on Senate Bill 704.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be Senate bills for perfection informal calendar. The Senator from Johnson is recognized for Senate Bill 704 with Senate substitute. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to take Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 704 off the informal calendar for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Johnson County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Johnson, as you recall, Senator from the 23rd, we have an amendment pending, but Senator from the 23rd, I believe, had the floor in an inquiry with the Senator from Barton. Reading here.
Senator? Sorry, I forgot. So, Senator, as I was saying, I'm now reading a little background blurb on this legislation, and it is expanding the Missouri Works program from full-time positions to part-time positions, but I don't know if it's just the National Guard that would follow under that provision, or is it all positions for all companies?
It looks to me like, Senator, it's just the National Guard.
It's just the National Guard. So the National Guard would be able to now count part-time positions. Yeah. What I didn't know, as I mentioned when we started the inquiry, is I didn't know that a government agency would qualify for a government tax credit.
Right.
That's new for me, but...
I'm a little confused. I'm not sure I could explain what an industrial development authority is. That's what actually gets the tax credit, is an industrial development authority. That's already in statute. I mean, that's not
yes.
new. The only thing new is the senator from Andrew is...
Is adding the part-time.
Adding the part-time guard guardsmen and women.
Well... So, Senator, I appreciate the inquiry. I just wanted to ask that question. We're looking at a lot of legislation, and we're obviously learning some new things here. And so I didn't know if you were aware of that, but I certainly support the efforts of our legislative body to support our military members. And in the interlude, talking to the senator from Andrew, he talked about the need that this is another tool for them. I don't know what the fiscal note would be for this, but...
You know, I imagine it's not going to be a huge fiscal note, and I think he said that this had passed the legislature before, so it's already been seen and gone through this body. We weren't maybe all in it at the times that it did, but apparently that has happened, according to the senator from Andrew.
Okay. Well... I learned something new today. All right. Senator, thank you for the inquiry.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2? Hearing none, Senator from Andrew, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Amendment number 2 for Senate Substitute number 2 to Senate Bill number 704 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment number 2. We are back on the adoption of Senate Substitute number 2 offered by the Senator from Johnson. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Hearing none, Senator from Johnson County, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Johnson County renews his motion that Senate Substitute number 2 as amended for Senate Bill number 704 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Substitute number 2. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Substitute number 2 for Senate Bill number 704 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Johnson County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Johnson County renews his motion that Senate Substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 704 be perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have perfected and ordered printed the Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 704. Senator from Boone.
President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for third reading on the formal calendar, and I'd ask that you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be Senate bills for third reading, formal calendar. First bill is Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 578, the Senator from Dallas County.
You, Mr. President, I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 578 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Dallas County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 578 be third read and finally passed.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain your substitute?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is the Notary Public bill that we perfected a couple of days ago that updates the statutes concerning notary publics and also allows for remote online notary. Be happy to answer any questions.
The Senator from Dallas County has moved that the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 578 be read for a third time and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Dallas renews her motion that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 578 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 578, an act relating to certification of documents. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Lucht-Meyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams,
Senator from the fourth. Votes aye. Senator from Barton. Votes aye. By a vote of 28 aye and 0 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfections. Motions were made and carried. Staying on that same calendar, Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 739, the senator from the 2nd District of St. Charles County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 739 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 2nd District. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 739 be third read and finally passed.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain your bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the Anti-Discrimination Against Israel Act, also known as the Anti-BDS Act. This is a bill to show the support of the state of Missouri and Missouri taxpayers for our strongest and most dependable ally in the Middle East, and I would dare say throughout the entire world. I'd be happy to take any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 2nd District. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 4th.
Yes, can I inquire of the senator from St. Charles, from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, again, you know, I have to stand up and talk about this bill because, you know, I have people that are really concerned about this bill. And, you know, me and you had a conversation in reference to the bill, and I think that, you know, at a time right now in our state, you know, that we're going through in the country, actually, is this the right time to do this legislation? And I'm asking that, how is this legislation something that is necessary at this time that we're going through right now in the country?
Well, I think that you could probably ask that about any of the legislation moving through this body. Of course, very, very little legislation that we're working on is very specific to the COVID-19 crisis. But I think that the the struggle of the state of Israel for survival is timely, but it's also a very long one, a timeless one going back to its founding in 1948. And the state of Israel has repeatedly been the target of boycotts and really efforts aimed to undermine her standing on the world stage and even some, unfortunately, for her, aiming at her destruction. And again, Israel is a very important ally. It's really the only democratic republic in that part of the world and has been a staunch ally. And really, this is a bill not about free speech about individual Missourians, but about how taxpayer dollars are going to be spent and about sending a message of support for the state of Israel. So, well, I believe it's timely because it is timeless.
So let me ask you this. Why is it important for Missourians to take this stand? And when you say taxpayers' dollars, let's talk about that, because you have taxpayers on both sides of the issue. You get me? So why is it necessary for Missourians to take this stand? And how many other states across the United States have actually gotten involved in taking this stand on the state level? Why is that necessary?
Actually, I believe I have the number in my notes, but I think it's over 17 other states have passed anti-BDS legislation. Literally hundreds of members of Congress of both parties have co-sponsored legislation in support of Israel, anti-BDS legislation. So this is something that has been a very important issue for a long time. It's an issue that's been considered here numerous times in this body. When he was a member of this body, our lieutenant governor sponsored this particular piece of legislation. So I think this is a good time to pass this bill.
And correct me if I'm wrong. The point of this bill right now is to deny contracts to those who might, you know, make a conscious and moral decision to use their power to protest against what they consider, you know, is happening in Israel right now with these two nations.
So it's only larger businesses and larger contracts, businesses with over 10 employees, contracts over $100,000, that to get that contract, that business would have to state that business was not boycotting the state of Israel. This would in no way restrict what any business owner or any employee of that business would do as a private citizen.
So it's basically it's saying that if this business choose to, you know, divest or withdraw or boycott, you know, their relationships with Israel, we're saying as a state that they can't have a contract with the state and that if they're providing services or whatever.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really do have a problem with this bill. And I'm going to say that my real concern is that I will never forget, you know, what was happening in Africa. And I think this is a bill that deals a lot with, you know, religious prejudices, racial prejudices. This is what this fight is about. And to me, if we don't know what the outcome will be, but at the same time, you want businesses, people to be able to voice their protest against it. And to me, it's a constitutional First Amendment right, you know, even for businesses to be able to say, you know, what they're going to do, because I'll never forget the apartheid that was going on in Africa and how, you know, because of the rise in the protests, because of the people speaking out, businesses divested from Africa, South Africa. And as a result of that divestiture, we were able to stop apartheid. So I think that right now, this bill to me would hinder that voice. So I really, you know, I just wanted to really stand up and I wanted to put it on record that this is not a, you know, unanimous decision. You get me? Yeah. I wanted to make sure that the people who are in opposition to this bill, who I've sat down with and talked to, also have their voices heard. So, you know, I thank you for the inquiry, and I thank you for...
Well, Senator, I very much respect your point of view, and I believe I understand it. I would just only add that Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress and the civil rights activists in South Africa never sought to destroy the state of South Africa, and I think that is an important decision.
No, they did.
Distinction.
Yeah, they never sought to destroy the state, of course, but they did have businesses who was funding the negative apartheid that was going on. Those businesses stopped funding it.
Sure.
So, you know, and that's crucial when you have, when you're not sure what's really happening on both sides. So, you know, again, I just think that anything that stifles the voice of protest is not good. That's me. It, you know, I agree with people being able to exercise their constitutional rights. It's almost as sacred as the position that you guys take on guns. You defend the second, you know, the Second Amendment, the Constitution.
Right.
You know, this is the same thing. This First Amendment right to voice your concerns about something that you don't agree with. But, you know, that's, I just
thank
wanted
you,
to make sure that we
no,
get that
I,
on
I
record.
I appreciate and, your
and I appreciate
opinion.
The dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on the motion offered by the Senator from the 2nd District, Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak in support of the legislation.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciated the concerns that we just heard from the Senator from the 4th. But I want to talk about the United States' relationship with Israel and Israel's relationship with us as the only democratic nation in that area of the Middle East. And when we talk about why now, the state of Israel has more patents than any other nation in the world, so that priority trade partner. It has sought out and worked hard and actually put a trade desk in Israel so that we could develop and build our relationships between the state of Israel and Missouri in terms of the economy and building the economy. We need to continue that relationship, and we need to, we can't on one hand say we support you as our economic partner, and on the other hand say, and yet we're going to stand by when there are groups of people who are willing to cut off our ability to do trade with you. I think it needs to be very, very clear that why the First Amendment does not apply here. Any individual, and I think the senator from the second made this clear, any individual, regardless of whether that individual works for a corporation or is the head of the corporation, has the right to protest Israel and some of the things it does. And you know what? I don't think Israel is a perfect state, and sometimes I don't like what it does. But what we're saying is, if a corporation, again, that has been outlined in the legislation, so minimum of 10 people doing $100,000 in business, chooses to boycott Israel, they may do so, but they will not get a contract from the state of Missouri, because Missouri stands with Israel and says, you are our democratic ally in the Middle East, and you are our trade partner. This is not apartheid. That was truly a social justice issue. In the case of the state of Israel, let's be clear. There are people who would like to see the state of Israel wiped off the map. That is their goal. This is different from apartheid, where there was separation and people were treated in a discriminatory way. There are people, there are the Hamas, who would like to see Israel gone. Look at the mission statements of some of these groups that are backing this BDS movement. I respect and understand and want everyone in this country and in our state to be able to exercise their First Amendment rights. I also believe that we have to stand our ground and say that Israel is a reliable democratic nation in the Middle East. And when I say democratic, I want you to know that whether you're a Jew or a Palestinian living in Israel, you have a right to vote. You can make your voice heard on election day. You have standing before Parliament. It is a democratic nation. They are our ally in the Middle East, and they are our trade partner. And for those reasons, Mr. President, I support the legislation brought forward by the senator from the second. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion offered by the senator from the second? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
Senator from the 2nd District renews his motion that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 739 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 739, an act relating to prohibiting public entities from contracting with companies discriminating against Israel. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams,
by a vote of 28 aye and 1 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of the second reading of the House of Bills.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be second reading of House Bills. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. The House Committee substitute for House Bill 2001.
House Committee substitute for House Bill 2001, an act to appropriate money to the Board of Fund Commissioners for the cost of issuing and processing state water pollution control bonds, storm water control bonds, and fourth state building bonds as provided by law.
Appropriations. House Committee substitute for House Bill 2002.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2002, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the State Board of Education and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2003.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2003. An act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Higher Education and Workforce Development, the several divisions, programs, and institutions of higher education included therein.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Revenue, the Department of Transportation, and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2005.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2005, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Office of Administration, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Conservation, the Department of Public Safety, and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2006.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2006, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Conservation, and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2007.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2007, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Economic Development, Department of Commerce and Insurance, Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Public Safety and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2009.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2009, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Corrections and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Health and Senior Services, and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bills 2011.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011. An act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, and distributions of the Department of Social Services and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2012.
House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2012, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Chief Executive's Office and Mansion, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, State Auditor, State Treasurer, Attorney General, Missouri Prosecuting Attorneys and Circuit Attorneys, Retirement Systems, and the Judiciary and the Office of the State Public Defender and the several divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2013.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2013, an act to appropriate money for real property leases, related services, utilities, systems, furniture, structural modifications, and related expenses for the several departments of state government and the divisions and programs thereof.
Appropriations.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be reports of standing committees. The Senator from Franklin.
We don't have the...
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. A list of the appointments have been distributed on the desk, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Please send your report forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the reports in one motion.
Hearing no objection, the report shall be voted on in one motion.
Mr. President, I move the committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to these appointments.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Franklin County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Franklin County moves that the gubernatorial appointments report be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the gubernatorial appointments report. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, for third reading on the formal calendar, and I'd ask that you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be House bills on third reading, formal calendar. First bill up is House Bill 1383 with Senate Committee Substitute, the Senator from the 11th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that that bill be laid on the informal calendar.
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. Next bill is House Bill 1467 and 1934 with Senate Committee Substitute, the Senator from the 2nd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please lay that bill on the informal calendar.
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. Next bill is House Bill 1640, Senator from Cole County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will you lay that bill on the informal calendar also, please?
Shall be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1655 with Senate Committee Substitute, the Senator from Dallas.
Would you please lay that bill on the informal calendar?
Shall be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854 with Senate Committee Substitute, the Senator from Johnson County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the House Bill number 1854 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Johnson County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Committee Substitute be adopted, and I do have a Senate Substitute. I would request a waiver of the reading as the substitute has been distributed.
Thank you, Senator. Please send your substitute forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you care to move for the adoption of your substitute and then feel free to explain it?
Yes, I would like to move for the adoption of the substitute. The underlying bill, House Bill 1854, deals with fines for political subdivisions. Political subdivisions have to submit an annual financial report to the state auditor every year. If they do not, they incur a $500 per day fine. We have many political subdivisions as well as governmental entities that have accrued millions of dollars in fines. I believe I read over $42 million in fines. What this bill does, it says that if those political subdivisions go ahead and submit their financial report, then annual financial report by, I believe, January 1st, 2021, then they could eliminate all the fines that those political subdivisions have accrued. I want to thank the Senator from Dallas as well as local government committee members. They worked really hard on a Senate committee substitute and put a lot of good provisions in there to get many priorities of members in this body in there. So I want to thank them for their hard work on doing that. What I'd like to do is go through some of the differences, the additions in the Senate substitute. The first addition is Senate Bill 631 from the Senator from Andrew. This adds provisions relating to political restrictions for certain state employees. It was passed 7-0 out of the Senate Local Government and Elections Committee. As you may remember, he had this bill earlier in session, and he described an example of a MoDOT employee that wanted to run for political office. The second one addition in the Senate substitute is Senate Bill 646 from the Senator from the 15th. This was passed out 7-0 from the Senate Ways and Means Committee, and it relates to certain taxation districts. The third addition to the Senate substitute is Senate Bill 815 by the Senator from the 23rd. This passed out of local government and elections 7-0 and relates to filing periods for candidates in political subdivisions. The fourth addition is from the Senator from Andrew, Senate Bill 802, dealing with the use of public funds in elections, and passed out of the Senate Education Committee 6-3. The next addition is the Senator from the 1st. This is his Senate Bill 547, except it does not have the homestead version of this. We just actually perfected a version of this for the Senator from the 1st on Senate Bill 704 that we just perfected earlier this morning. It had a hearing in Ways and Means. The last provision that has been added to the Senate Committee substitute is my Senate Bill 704 relating to the taxation of partnerships, and we perfected that bill earlier today. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The Senator from Johnson County has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute to House Committee substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Platt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendment has been distributed. I would request a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you care to move for your Senate's amendment's adoption, and feel free to explain it?
Yes, Mr. President, I do move for the adoption of the amendment. This is a land conveyance bill that came over from the House. Originally, it was voted out of the House 148-1. I want to bring to the body's attention that it does have an emergency clause on it. The Senator from Johnson and I had talked about this before he knew the amendment was coming. I would have originally put it in the floor substitute, but I just got to him too late. Just to explain this a little bit, it's somewhat odd that I am the individual who is offering it, because typically this amendment would have been offered by the former senator from St. Francis County, who is no longer a member of the chamber. In his absence, I have sort of become the adoptive state senator for his Senate district, because I grew up in his Senate district. And so what this very simply does is there is some confusion over rights that the city of Farmington can grant over a industrial park located within the city. Clears up some of those legal issues. As I said before, this is something that's been vetted, at least on the House side, through committee. I presume would have been vetted on this side, but for the senator's departure. Passed 148-1 in the House. And, Mr. President, with that, I would be happy to answer any questions, or otherwise I renew my motion.
Senator from Platt has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I renew my motion.
The Senator from Platt has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed? The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the amendment. We are on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any other senator desire to be heard?
Bent.
Senator from 17th.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from the 24th?
Does the senator from the 24th take an inquiry from the senator from the 17th?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for taking my inquiry.
Sure.
I want to talk about one of the provisions included in this legislation that we heard in education. And based on your questions, I think I shared some of the concerns that came out in your line of thinking. And that provision relates to the use of public funds in elections. Now, I want to be really clear. I'm very sensitive, and I think this is a really well-intentioned and could be a very useful piece of legislation. My only concern is that it's going to have it's going to go beyond what's in writing, and it's going to cause a chilling effect so that people are even concerned about discussing things like bond issues because they're afraid that they'll get dragged to court over it.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's obviously part of my concern because I did ask those questions. So let's just sort of talk that through. So if a district needs to get out information about why it's putting some kind of a capital improvement bond issue on the ballot, you know, there's a fine line between somebody's version of what is putting an information out that is supportive of an issue and putting information out that is educational. And when a district, for example, you know what, when I was on the school board, we had this problem. Our schools, most of our schools, with the exception of one, were not air conditioned. And I talk about this story all the time. Mr. President, would you mind asking for order? Mr. President, I don't think you can hear me because it's so loud in here. Thank you. I think it's settled. It was just, thank you. Too loud.
Could senators please keep your conversations to the side gallery so the senators debating can have a conversation?
Thank you, Mr. President. As you know, some of us are wearing masks, and it's hard enough to speak and hard to hear when somebody else is trying to protect the rest of us in the chamber by wearing a mask. So in this particular issue in the school district, when there was no air conditioning and we were going after a bond issue of $40.9 million to add air conditioning and do a lot of things to set our schools up for the future, we had to put information out about that bond issue. And when you put out information and talk about why trying to have a child learn and trying to have a teacher teach in a classroom that's 98 degrees when it's 94 degrees outside, sometimes it may sound like you're advocating for something when you're just trying to explain the value and why you're putting this request for dollars from the taxpayers on the ballot. In the minds of someone who may not be supportive of this issue, they may choose to use it as one to challenge the school district, and with the threat of taking them to court when they put this information out, which will then cost the school district additional dollars that they can't use in the classrooms or to pay the teachers or to do what they need to do to make the school district buildings better. So I think that we have to be careful when we do something that sounds on its surface like it's a very correct way to do things, because we don't want taxpayer dollars to be spent inappropriately to advocate for or against certain issues or individuals. But when we do, just as you said, it will have a chilling effect on our school districts providing communication and information. And that is my concern, and it sounds like it may be a concern of yours too.
Exactly. I don't think anyone feels it's appropriate for taxpayer dollars to go towards supporting or opposing candidates or bond issues or anything of the like. But it does, I guess there is the possibility that in the interpretation of those communication materials, whether or not it comes across as something as being supportive or in opposition. And I do think, to your point, that may discourage school districts from trying to inform the public about certain issues. And especially when it comes to an important issue like, for example, a bonding issue. We keep going back to that. But I have constituents who have reached out to me for information on those kinds of things because, you know, they want to make a really informed decision and are super engaged at the local level. So people are hungry for information, and this may make it more difficult for school districts to make the decision to inform the public about what's going on because they're worried about potential lawsuits.
Right. And, you know, interestingly, from my perspective, when I ran for that school board seat, in addition to needing to put into place a bond issue, which was one of the things I talked about, another was to improve and advance communication from the district to the residents who are paying taxes who may or may not have had children going to the school district. And it's really important that the school district communicate always and often with the constituents about what is going on in that particular political subdivision. And we're not just talking about school districts. That's an easy political subdivision. Oh, are we in this legislation? Is it just refer to school districts? I can't remember, or political subdivisions in general? Political subdivisions in general. So,
I think
one of the things people like about local government, and, you know, where I live, I represent 22 different municipalities, so there is a lot of local government going on. People want to know they're in touch with the people who are leading and representing them. And I think that's one of the reasons there is so much pushback against joining these communities together. They want to feel like they can hear from and know what is going on. This is going to perhaps inadvertently, but as a result of this legislation, that communication activity through the formal channels may feel like people may feel like they need to cut back on that or not do that because they don't want to put at risk that community's funding. They don't want to end up in court spending money to defend communication that they put out on behalf of letting people in the community know what's going on.
So the violation of this act is punishable as a Class 4 election offense. Do you know what kind of punishment that carries?
I think it means you can't vote by mail. I'm just kidding. Sorry. I just I actually don't know what that is. So maybe I don't know who the sponsor is of this underlying piece of the legislation.
I do. And I actually may. I see that senator in the chamber, and I know he's busy, but I may ask to inquire.
Oh, is that the appropriations chair?
It is.
Okay, so if you want to inquire of him, I'm happy to come and talk with you again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 17th.
May I inquire the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew appears to be into the chamber. Senator from Andrew, the senator from the 17th would like to inquire of you. Are you willing to accept that inquiry?
I am, Mr. President.
Senator from 17th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. And I appreciate how busy you are. So I just have a couple of questions that hopefully you can clarify.
I understand there's a provision in the bill that was one of the bills that I had that you're
That's right. About. And okay. I don't know if you heard any of our discussion, but...
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I really understand the point and the purpose behind that provision.
You know, I don't know that many of us condone public entities using taxpayers' dollars to campaign on. And the idea is to try to prevent that from the use of taxpayers' dollars to promote or to oppose a campaign. That doesn't seem right to me. It seems wrong.
And
the effort to do this was to try to limit that. Now,
I certainly agree with that. And I think probably everyone in this chamber agrees. My only concern is that in the interpretation of whether the material, if someone can interpret certain phrasing to be supportive or in opposition, and, you know, that may be a matter of perspective, and if this may have an unintended consequence of political subdivisions providing the public with information because they're afraid that it may be interpreted as being supportive or in opposition.
What we're trying to do with this bill is basically to put the same restrictions that we do on other political subdivisions on school districts. So we had a local court ruling that said that they didn't fall under the same restrictions and that they could use taxpayers' dollars to promote a campaign, which, you know, it didn't get challenged up. I mean, I think it was just a circuit court ruling that did that. But, you know, evidently there was some vagaries in the present statute that they felt like it could open that up. And then we're just trying to close that out to put them on the same par with all the other political subdivisions that truly already have this prohibition out there. And so if we've gone too broad, I mean, that's not the intent. You know, cities, counties, they should be still able to give, you know, information to their constituents about ballot issues. But it's just the avocation is what we're trying to get out. And like I say, we had kind of a bizarre ruling that found that that could even go that further. And
that's something I'm struggling with. When I live in Kansas City, so when Kansas City ever wants to put a proposal on the ballot,
right,
I found that the information I receive at home is often sent by a campaign, right? Because the city is concerned about, I think probably they're concerned that they... the city is concerned that if they send something, then it may be misinterpreted as being supportive or in opposition. And so instead of hearing from the city directly about whatever proposal they're trying to pass or not pass, but put before the public, instead of hearing from the city, I'm often hearing from other entities who have some sort of
campaigns to do it. They raise
interest.
Money, but it's outside. It's not taxpayers' money. They get maybe advocates for doing this or that in a campaign, and that's the model that they use, I guess.
Yeah,
actually, that's the way to do it.
My point in saying that is we lose the benefit of just having neutral information, and instead we're only receiving information from parties that have, a certain perspective that they're making an argument for or against, and you sort of lose that impartiality. So I'm worried that that's going to happen in issues that relate to school districts.
Well, that's not the intent. The intent is to prevent them from being an advocate. And like I say, it's kind of unique to our area up there.
I certainly agree with the intent.
I think it was a wrong decision. And so we're trying to address that, clarify that, to make sure that they have the same prohibitions that darn near every other political subdivision has.
One last question for you. So a purposeful violation is punishable as a class 4 election offense?
Yeah, that would be a misdemeanor. It's the lowest offense out there.
Okay.
You know, so if they just... It's a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. You wouldn't, you know...
Who would be the responsible party? Would it be the school district? Would it be an individual?
I assume it would be an individual. I mean, I don't think you can punish the school district in that regard. It was individuals, but now maybe individuals that are in charge of the school district.
Like a superintendent?
Could be, yeah. I mean, if they would be the ones that, like, authorized an advocacy mailing going out, you know, I think that would be it. And it would be, I mean, like most misdemeanors or any charges, it would be the prosecutor that would have to bring, charges against them, yeah. Which I will tell you, my experience as a county clerk, not many prosecutors believe that election offenses really rise to a level of great concern. I have a problem with that, but that's a different issue. That's not an issue. It's not part of this. You know, I wish prosecutors would take election offenses a little bit more serious than what I have witnessed them doing.
Sure. Well, and I don't know if you heard the senator from the 24 said, if someone is... you know, in opposition of a particular measure, then that person may be more motivated to get the prosecutor involved and to make an issue out of it. So I don't know, but I hope you understand where I'm coming from.
Sure.
And I appreciate your insight and perspective on it. And we'll see if we can work through it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from 17th.
May I inquire of the senator from the 24th?
Senator from the 24th, the senator from 17th would like to inquire you. Will you accept that inquiry?
I do. Thank you, Mr.
President.
You may
proceed, Senator.
Thank you. Senator, I don't know if you had the chance to hear that conversation.
Yes. And, Senator, can you – I am looking through – I want to make sure that I have the correct – so I have the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for this bill, right? 1854.
The Senate Substitute for the Senate Committee Substitute, yes.
You know what?
So it's 0.06, actually.
I actually have the previous version because I'm going through it and not finding that section. So, all right. So maybe I can get a copy of, and I just received one. So, thank you. And can you tell me what page in the bill? Do you happen to know? I'm looking now at the...
I was looking at the summary.
Because that's on.
So let me see if I can find this section. I know it's section 115.646.
All right, you're okay with that. That's another bill, too.
Were you able to get a copy of it?
Senator, the senator from Andrew thinks that it is probably fine to just remove that section if you'd like to do that and not hold up the rest of what's in the legislation.
Sure. I have an amendment that I'll offer to do that, and then I'll get with the senator from Andrew, who I know has his mind on other things, and see if there's some resolution we can reach.
That'd be great. I hope we can find a balance or figure out going forward how to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from 17th.
I have an amendment.
Senator, is that an amendment to... We are on the adoption of the Senator from Platt's amendment. Is it an amendment to the Senator from Platt?
Oh. I'll hold off. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the adoption motion from the senator from the 1st to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee. We've adopted? Oh, we have? Well, let me back up then. We are on the adoption motion of Senate Substitute for Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House 1845, and we have adopted one amendment. Would any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 17th.
We're a little rusty today. I have an amendment.
Please send that amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Are you moving for the adoption of the amendment?
I move for its adoption, and I ask, it's short, so I ask that it be read, please.
The senator from the 17th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
So this just removes the section that we discussed, and like I said, I appreciate the senator from Andrew, his explanation, and I'll get with him in hopes that we can resolve that.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion of Senate Amendment 2? Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from Clay?
The senator from 17th... accept an inquiry from the senator from 31st?
I do.
You may proceed.
Would you say again, Senator, what the amendment does?
It just strikes that section that we discussed involving taxpayer dollars going towards opposing or supporting.
Okay, so it takes that whole section out.
It does. And like I said, I agree with the intent of it, so I'm hopeful that we can iron out those details and get to a place where it has that intent without the possibility that it has a chilling effect on school districts.
You're concerned that identifying the prejudice is going to be a problem.
And the interpretation of what's supportive or in opposition.
But, and I confess, I don't have a lot of the background on how that law applies to municipalities and other public bodies right now. But apparently, has that been a problem with them? I mean, have we seen a lot of disputes within the jurisdictions that already are subject to that?
Well, that was part of the discussion I had with the senator from Andrew. Instead of receiving information from political subdivisions that want to put a measure before voters, it's all become a campaign funded by interests who have a stake in it one way or another. And it, in my opinion, that makes it more difficult to have an impartial understanding of the actual issue.
Well, but, and I think, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. I think I'm hearing, what I'm hearing you say is right now you've got opponents and you got proponents, and they both, you get mailers from both of them, and you have to decide. But this, the schools can currently offer information already, can't they?
Well, they're required to offer only information. They can't advocate for a position. So that's a rule that's already on the books.
Okay, and so what is the objection then to the amendment that Senator from Andrew has in the bill?
That if someone has a certain position that, and they receive, my concern is that school districts won't want to send information about the issues that they're going to put before voters because they're concerned that someone may object and claim that, you know, the information they're sending out is worded in a way that's supportive. And so it's, and
but that's true now, isn't it? I mean, they could object now. You said they're already under a rule that they can't, so they could already, I mean, they could do that now.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm not sure that I see any harm in the proposal. I do see value to it because I do think it is, I think the senator has explained very clearly that, and I think you've agreed as well, that we don't want tax dollars going as proponents or opponents for tax increases.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't see where we're increasing any uncertainty with the language. But I appreciate you've taken my inquiry. That's it was helpful.
Thank of you. Course. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from 17th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2, and it has been distributed, but she asked that it be read. Madam Secretary, could you please read the amendment?
Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Arthur, amend Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill Number 1854, page 34 through 35, section 115.646, by striking said section in its entirety, and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Again, we are on the adoption motion for Senate Amendment 2 from the senator from the 17th. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, senator from the 17th, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator from the 17th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed? It appears that the noes have it. Senator from 17th.
I request a roll call. Oh, can I request a standing division, please?
Senator, you will need one other person to stand. It appears that you have that standing division will be taken. Senators, a standing division has been requested. Could we please get the senators to their seats for a standing division? Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 17th has requested a standing division on Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. All those in favor of that amendment, please stand. Please return to your seats. All those opposed, please stand. You may return to your seats. The amendment has failed. 10 to 17. We are back on the adoption motion of Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Greene County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It is being feverishly copied. I will send it forward. The body will be very well aware of this as we spent some time on this yesterday. I am more than happy to not close until that amendment has been distributed. But at this time, Mr. President, I would move for its adoption and ask for a waiver of the reading.
Senator from Greene County, from the 30th, has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 3. He has asked for a waiver of the reading. Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
I would at this time, Mr. President. Thank you very much for doing a bang-up job up there. This is the aforementioned Let My People Vote Amendment. This is a compilation of 14 now different enabling pieces of legislation that are moving throughout this body. The reason it's 14 and not 15, there was one provision removed, 94.844, which was a transient guest tax enabling legislation for the city of Joplin, which has been removed after some discussion and some compromise with some members in this body, as well as the agreed-upon language that was passed earlier in, I'm going to say, Senate Bill 704, maybe, that requires that these elections be held on the general election date in November, as well as delayed implementation as to not be held this year but at a subsequent year. As I said, Mr. President, I'm more than happy to continue to hold the floor while we have this amendment distributed, because I do want to give the members of this body every opportunity to go through that at their leisure. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 30th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 3 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 17th appears to be seeking recognition.
I inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from the 30th, do you yield to an inquiry?
Senator from Green does yield to the inquiry, Mr. President. Thank you very much, sir.
Senator from the 17th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Forgive me, Senator, I was in my thoughts, so I did not hear your explanation of what your amendment is, and I know that they're working on getting it distributed.
Sure.
But if you don't mind indulging me again.
I would be happy to, because it's kind of lengthy. This, Senator, is is now 14 different pieces of legislation that are enabling bills for communities for various uses. These are capital improvement sales tax, these are transient guest tax, we've got an early childhood education, we've got a couple of public safety issues, a local use tax, we have ambulance and fire district authorizing language. So
I know there were some concerns about that amendment when you first proposed it. What deal got worked out, or what has the language changed since it's first been offered?
Sure. So the compromise that was struck yesterday afternoon was to delay putting these on the ballot this year, and require that they be held on a general election date. You probably heard a little bit of conversation about, you know, voter turnout and smaller elections that are participated in, like in April and things like that, that, you know, some members think, you know, perhaps disenfranchise the community when a smaller number of participants actually vote in an election and then could pass something that then has an effect on the rest of the community. You know, we don't have to get into the philosophical difference about that. My opinion is, you know, we have elections, and if you're registered to vote in that community, you have the opportunity to do that. We also have, you know, the opportunity that if you're going to be traveling or out of town, not that anyone gets to do that anymore, but if you were to be away from your community upon that election being held, you could stop by your county courthouse or, you know, and vote absentee early. And just, I think you have to sign an affidavit that says, I'm very much unlikely to be in my community at that time, or I know I'm not going to be in my community at that time. And so we have those avenues in place. But in an effort
some
to...
Some of us would like to see those options perhaps expanded.
I'm sure some of us would. So in an effort to help a number of communities around the state, as well as, I think you know this as well as anyone, I really like to streamline things around here and do things just as judiciously as possible when we're here on the floor. So this, like I said, this is a compilation of the majority of the enabling legislation that is floating around for various communities around the state. And I believe the infamous Al Carter has just, at least to my desk, dropped off a copy of this new amendment.
I see all 40 pages, so I will take the next 30 seconds to sit down and read your amendment, and I appreciate the explanation and inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Senator.
We are on the adoption motion of Senate Amendment 3, from the Senator from Green to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you're recognized to close.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I close.
The Senator from Green has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 3 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitutes for House Bill 1854. All those in favor of that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It appears the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 3. We are back on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the second.
Oh. An amendment?
Please send that amendment forward.
It has been distributed. I would move for a waiver of the reading, and I move its adoption.
Senator from the second has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 4. Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment is the Anti-Discrimination Against Israel Act, also known as the Anti-BDS Act, which was third read by this body, passed by a vote of 29-1, and I would move the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4.
Senator from the second has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 4 to Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for 1854. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield to inquire from the senator from the 24th?
I do.
Please proceed.
Senator, as you know, I'm supportive of the legislation that you're putting forward as an amendment. I am curious, though, as to how you believe that that legislation fits onto this bill entitled Political Subdivisions.
Yeah, I think it fits well. If you read even right now, I have the summary here. You know, this act, under this act, public entities are prohibited from entering into certain contracts. So, in other words, the Anti-Discrimination Against Israel Act is a restriction on the contracting of political subdivisions. So
I'm not sure it's a restriction on political subdivisions as much as it's a restriction on corporations wanting to do business with the state. So that's
well,
why
I'm... It does that by spelling out a particular contractual provision that has to be in public contracts entered into by political subdivisions. On line 5, it says a public entity shall not enter into a contract with a company to acquire, etc. So this, again, the way it achieves its goal, which I know you support, you spoke eloquently about earlier today, the way it achieves that goal is by putting particular requirements on public entities.
Well, I think that should this amendment, which, as you know, I support, go on, I think that you're creating a Hammerschmidt violation with the rest of the bill. And while whether this bill moves forward or not is certainly up to the body, but I think that even though I'm reluctant to do anything in opposition to the bill that you got passed, I do think that it's not appropriate here. So I appreciate the inquiry. And, Mr. President?
Senator from the 24th.
In an effort to, as much as we can during these abnormal times, try to make sure we bring some normalcy and follow protocol and rules within the Senate chamber, I'm going to reluctantly raise a point of order. I think that this bill...
Okay. Senators, could you please keep your conversations down as the Senator for 24th is addressing the dais? Go ahead, Senator, proceed.
So, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to raise a point of order. I think that this particular bill falls outside of the scope of the underlying legislation, and again, I'm very supportive of the bill, or I wouldn't stand up, but I think that we don't want to set a precedent for these few weeks that we have left during our session to allow a bevy of unrelated bills to be piled onto these huge omnibus bills that are coming through, especially during a session where my understanding when we came back, and again, not under my control, but my understanding was that we were going to really focus on getting that budget done, getting bills passed that will help our constituents in this COVID-19 environment, and going home to back to our constituents to talk with them, to advise them, to let them know that we're doing the work that we need to do to support them in a critical and crucial time. So there you have it.
Thank you, Senator. Your point of order will be referred to the President pro tem. Is there a discussion on the point of order? Senator from the second.
Speak on the point of order.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the concern from the senator from the 24th regarding some of the very large omnibuses that have been compiled in the House and indeed in the Senate. And I believe that some of the provisions of some of those very large bills come very close to violating the single subject rule of the Missouri Constitution and the decision of Hammerschmidt and its progeny.
In fact, I would guess that perhaps no other member of this chamber has spent more time reading the cases, the Supreme Court precedent on this issue of single subject and, again, the Hammerschmidt line of cases. But regarding this particular amendment, Senate Amendment 4, it doesn't even come close to violating the single subject rule. Although it is a bill that has to do with our support of our ally Israel, the very structure of the bill accomplishes its purpose by making a restriction on a public entity and adds a particular contractual provision on the contracts that those public entities can enter into. If I read line 5 of the amendment, a public entity shall not enter into a contract with a company to acquire or dispose of services, supplies, information, technology, or construction unless the contract includes a written certification and so on. So, again, this is all about the kind of contracts public entities can enter into, and being about public entities, it certainly fits under the umbrella of a local government bill. So I would urge the president to reject this point of order as not well taken. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on the point of order. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am going to take that point of order under advisement at this time.
Point of order will be taken under advisement. Senator from Barry, for what reason do you rise?
President, I have an amendment.
Senator, that point of order was taken under advisement, which means the bill is no longer before us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objection, we are on the order of business of reports from standing committees. Senator from Webster.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to send a correction report for House Bill 1640 from the Committee on Physical Oversight. There's a typographical error, and this corrects it.
Hearing no objection, that send a report forward.
Just read it.
Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 1640, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Where is he? Senator from Boone. Oh, there he is.
What are we doing?
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills for third reading on the informal calendar, and I'd ask that you recognize the Senator from Cole County for a motion on Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046.
Hearing no objection, we are on that order of business. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to bring Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 before the body.
The senator from Cole has moved that House Bill 2046 be brought before the body. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Your bill is before the body. Senator from Cole, at this time you have closed on the Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2046 as amended. And then it's going to Senator from
Frank. Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to withdraw my motion to third read and finally pass Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 as amended. Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 92 and having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote by which the Senate substitute for the House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 as amended was adopted be reconsidered.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Cole. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Who's that? Senator from Andrew. Votes aye. Senator from the 8th. Votes aye. Senator from Clay. Votes aye. Senator from the 14th. Did you ask how you recorded, Senator? You recorded as an aye. By a vote of 28 ayes and 0 noes, the motion prevails. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're trying to unwind what I did the other day. So pursuant to Rule 92 and having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote by which the Senate Amendment number 10 to Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 as amended was adopted be reconsidered.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Cole. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Sarapoy. Crawford. Cunningham. Igel. Emery. Hageman. Hoskins. Huff. Koenig. Leibler. Lucht-Meyer. May. Nasheed. O'Loughlin. Onder. Riddle. Rizzo. Rowden. Sater. Schatz. Shoup. Sifton. Wallingford. Walsh. White. Whelan. Williams.
Senator from Butler. Votes aye. Senator from Franklin, you need to vote. Votes aye. By your vote of 29 ayes and 0 noes, the motion prevails. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now withdraw Senate Amendment number 10.
Please send the amendment back.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
Yes, Mr. President, it has.
Are you asking for a waiver of the reading?
Yes, Mr. President, I request a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you like to move for the adoption of the amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the amendment. There was a glitch with the way it lined up with our military reciprocity bill, and this will fix that. And I would like to request to talk to the senator from Boone, inquire of him, please.
Senator from Boone, would you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Please proceed.
Senator from Boone, so basically what we did was we, you know, like I mentioned, we actually had an amendment number 10 that was supposed to line us up with the military reciprocity language, and it wasn't quite correct, so we're trying to unwind it and get it correct this time.
Yeah, and I wanted to say publicly, it was my job to help prepare everybody for those two votes, to explain why we were going to that order of business and in the way that we were going to it. And I failed to do that, so I apologize publicly. And most things that you do wrong are usually your fault, but this one wasn't. So I just wanted to say that.
I can't tell from underneath that mask if you're fibbing or not.
That's why I slid it back up.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thanks for your good work
Boone.
On this one.
The senator from Cole has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 11. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Cole renews his motion that Senate Amendment number 11 be adopted. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Cole again. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 as amended be third read and finally passed.
Senator from Cole has moved that Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 as amended be read a third time and put upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator, we need to back up. I think your motion should have been to adopt the substitute. I apologize for moving you beyond that. So if you would just move to, for the adoption of the substitute as amended.
I move for the adoption of the substitute as amended.
All right, thank you. The senator from Cole has moved for the adoption of the substitute as amended. Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, now you are recognized to close on the adoption of the substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
All those in favor of adopting the substitute as amended, say aye. All those of the contrary opinion say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute is adopted. Senator from Cole. Third read.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator, you need to that the substitute be read a third time and finally passed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 as amended be third read and finally passed.
You have heard the motion by the senator from Cole. Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
Senator from Cole has moved that the Senate substitute for the Senate committee, let me see, where are we? For the House Committee substitute for House Bill 2046 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2046. An act relating to professional registration. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Higeman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Lucht-Meyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, aye. Whelan, aye. Williams,
aye. Senator from the fourth, Senator from the fourth, Senator from the fourth, you are in the chamber, you must vote. Senator from the fourth votes aye. By your vote of 29 ayes and 0 noes, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, we are on the order of business of announcements. Announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me make a quick announcement.
Senator from Boone, you're recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, there should have been some documents given to everybody that said this, but just for clarification, my adjournment motion will be till 9 a.m. tomorrow, not under the rules, 9 a.m. We will come in, take care of some formal business, and then let the appropriations folks get to their job of marking up. So 9 a.m. tomorrow instead of 10 a.m. Everybody have a great day.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. With no further business coming before the body, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 9 a.m. on Friday, May 1st, 2020.
Hearing no objection, the Senate. Is that right? Do we have to vote on it? We have to vote on it, don't we? Yeah. The Senator from Boone has moved. Did you make a motion, Senator? Did you make an adjournment motion? Pardon? You did? Okay. The Senator from Boone has moved that the Senate stand adjourned until 9 a.m. Friday, May 1st, 2020. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned.